This is Todd Lights, public address announcer for your world champion, Los Angeles Dodgers. And you are listening to the Talk at the Urinal Podcast.
All right, Paul, we're back from a couple week hiatus. I'm Eric.
I'm Paul.
We're LA sports podcast. We dabble mostly in Dodgers, Lakers, Kings, right? And then we'll dabble. Yeah, a little soccer. Paul's a big soccer guy.
It's hot.
Yeah, whatever's hot, dude, we'll talk about. I'm going to start because I already know you're negative. I'm going to be the positive guy. I'm going to start. I'll make it short and sweet. So let's recap the trade deadline for Dodgers. Let's recap the trade. Okay. First of all, going back to a few days ago, we got Kike, Kelly, Lynn, Rosario. All guys that we need. Okay, hey, what do we need? Bullpen help. What do we need? A starting pitcher that will go long, right? At least 6 or 7 innings. Lynn, Kelly.
I'm listening.
Two guys that could hit against lefties. We need guys that hit against lefties. Rosario and Kike. And they could play. Well, Rosario could play shorter second.
Always.
Kike can play. Yeah, Kike, obviously. Clubhouse vibes are back. Joe Kelly and Kike. Right. And then this Yarbrough, who knows what we'll get from him? I mean, I know he's on the Royals. His last month was good. But I'm saying all the Dodgers fans are upset because what we didn't get. First of all, Otani, they already said they're not trading him, especially because they're thinking things down.
It's not going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. I know. So he's already, but last month when we did the pod, we thought they would because with Trout out and they were kind of more out of it. Verlander, Rodriguez, you can't blame Friedman on that, dude. They didn't want to be there. Verlander said, I want to go back to Astros. Rodriguez, I mean, have fun staying in Detroit. I know his family, I guess, is East Coast out there.
That's not even fine. Worried about it.
So I think that we're in first place. I think we made the moves that we had to make. We didn't make a splash move, but where have the splash moves gotten us in the past? Scherzer didn't do a shit for us. Darvish, I guess we could have won that year. 2007, I mean, you know what I mean? Splash move doesn't always, like, when you ship, because we saw that with, how about...
I'll give you that.
How about let's name some name with the Braves who they make at the deadline that 1 year they won and who killed us? Rosario. That's not a splash move, but he came through. Who's that guy on the Red Sox? Steve Pierce. These guys are like aren't big names, but they come through about the right time. You know what I mean? So big splash moves. Yeah.
You're making all great points. I'm with you so far on this. So far, we actually don't differ.
Okay. I'm just maybe
you're
not
just trying to put
year.
A little spin on it.
I'm trying to put a little spin because I just see a lot on Twitter. Dodger fans are upset, but like Dodger fans are never happy. I'll be honest, after last year debacle in the playoffs, I mean, no one's going to be happy. But I
agree because we should be winning. We expect to win it every single year. The Yankee fans are the same boat right now. The Yankees fans are all just losing their minds. They're already chanting "Fire Cashman" at the game today. Like they're losing their minds. So the Yankees and the Dodger fans, we expect to win it every single year. So you can't blame us for being mad on Twitter. We're going to be mad no matter what.
No, of course. But I'm just trying to put out the positives before we get to you. So those are all great points and all positives I got. I think we fixed the issues. We didn't make a splash, but those guys didn't want to be on our team. And what are we going to get? We didn't get Cease. I'm okay. Do any of those guys move the needle besides Verlander? No.
I don't even know if Verlander would have moved the needle for us. That's the thing. And don't get me wrong. I love Verlander. I've hated him since he's been an Astro, but I don't even know if he would have moved the needle in the direction that we needed it to be moved in. I know that sounds weird. Follow me for a second here.
Okay. All right. Well, you got the floor.
You named off Lynn, Kelly, Kike, Rosario. Yarbrough. I'm going to tell you my favorite move in that whole entire thing. As much as I keep on saying we need arms, the best move in that entire trade deadline was Rosario. Hands down. The guy, if he is not playing every single day at shortstop for the rest of this season, we're using him wrong. He needs to be in the lineup either at shortstop or second base. I mean, you got to put Kike at second. You got to put Rosario at shortstop.
Only against that has lefties. Kike is only going to be in against lefties, right?
Honestly, at this point, who else do you trust at second base more than him right now?
I mean, obviously, they're going to play Mook, but then who do you put in right? You know what I mean? Shit. So
I think Mook has to stay in right. I think you put Kike at second. I think you put Rosario. Rosario should be the every single day shortstop, in my opinion. Will he be used that way? Not 100% sure. Yeah. But right now, as all of our shortstops, and I'm not counting Mook in this. I'm not counting Mook as a shortstop right now. Out of all of our shortstops, he has the best average on the team. You already said he can hit lefties. Yeah. Honestly, Rojas, thanks for just go park it on the bench.
Great right fielder, like, though. Great fielder. He'll come in here and there for fielding, right?
For defense, yeah. Pinch hit maybe here and there. Yeah, pinch run him.
Yeah, we didn't get him for the hitting, obviously, because he hasn't done much of that. No.
Rosario needs to be starting every single game.
I agree. He was starting every day for Indians, so I feel like this. I thought we got a steal on that trade, didn't you?
I actually agreed. That's why I'm telling you. I think that was the best move we got at the trade deadline. Or I know we got it a couple of days before, but that was the best move.
No, yeah, Kike and Joe Kelly, I'm biased, but it is bullpen and help against lefties. You know, man, Kike could play multiple positions. So, name some. Okay, besides all that, name some negatives that you didn't like. I mean.
The negatives, I don't have a lot of faith in Lance Lynn. Let's put it that way. I don't have a lot of faith in Lance Lynn. We already saw it in his first start as a Dodger. How many solo home runs did he give up? Three.
I know.
He has a home run problem.
Can Pryor fix that?
We thought Pryor was going to fix Syndergaard, and we shipped his ass out of here a lot of games too late. I mean, you want to talk about positives? My positives are Trace. Thanks. Had a great run. See you later. Noah Syndergaard. Don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Number one positive. Bickford. Number one positive.
I will personally buy you your bus ticket to get the fuck out of here.
That's number one trade, I think. Dude, we got cash for Bickford? Dude, we'll take cash all day. All day.
I'll spend a positive on this for you. I'll spend a positive on this for you right now. People are looking at the Yankees. They didn't do shit. They failed the trade deadline. People are looking at the Dodgers. There's a weak trade deadline for the Dodgers. I think, and I hate to be this pessimist right here, but the Dodgers are in first place. We've been saying it all year. We don't need Ohtani right now. We don't need a big splash right now. So I don't think the trade deadline was good for us at all. I agree with everybody saying this was a terrible trade deadline for the Dodgers, but I'm okay with it being a terrible trade deadline for the Dodgers because we've been saying it. They're already in first place. How much more do they actually need right now? It just takes a couple of these guys to turn it on, get hot,
the right and time. We can
beat the Braves. Dude. Second thing, Yankees, you look at the Dodgers, you look at the Red Sox, you look at a couple of the big market teams that everybody's saying did not have a good trade deadline whatsoever. Dude, they're assembling their accountants. They're assembling their pieces. They're assembling their farm systems to basically clear the books for Ohtani. That is why I think the Yankee fans are they want to hang Cashman, but if they land Ohtani, and they're going to love Cash. You know what I mean?
Thank you. Basically, I was trying to say this morning, and I think it's great for you because Yankees, who knows, they might not even make playoffs. Like, what's great for us, like I was talking about this morning, is like, boys, we got some cash. We already have money. It's the Dodgers. But we still have a chance to win a title this year. We're in first place, and we still have a chance to get Ohtani next year. Dude, and then a lot of these trades, like, dude, how much better is Cease than Bobby Miller? I'm sure the White Sox want a Bobby Miller. Like, dude, Bobby Miller's been a huge part for it. You know what I mean? Like, we're not going to give – I don't know.
I'm fine. I still feel like we didn't give up a lot. Yeah. I think we're still fine. I told you right now, Lance Lynn, I'm a little bit worried on the home run factor.
Yes, the home runs.
And the thing about the Dodgers is the Dodgers are scoring a lot of runs, but they're also giving up a lot of runs at the same time when it comes to the home run ball and the long ball. I said it in the group chat with Rick's boys, Joe Kelly and Kike. Everybody's hyped about it. I see everybody posting. I see the random, you know, one or two Dodger game a season people on social media all posting the Kike dancing.
Because they're happy because he's back. They don't even know. I don't think half of them know that he was on the freaking World Series team.
Exactly. But I'm gonna be the guy in the minority here that I don't like the moves of bringing them both back. And don't get me wrong, I love Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly is a fucking Dodger dog for life for the shit that he did. There's a reason why they're getting the murals of him down all over the town here. I just don't like the thought of going backwards. I get it's a different team. I get it's a different year. I get all that. But if it didn't work for you once, I've never been a fan in sports of going backwards. And I know baseball is a little bit different because you got a full roster of 20 something guys. It's not like, you know, other sports. I don't like the going backwards part. I love Kelly. I just don't see that. I just don't understand that perspective of going backwards in sports sometimes. Yarbrough, I think he's right now he's going to be our fifth guy. I'm hoping he has to fill in while Kershaw's still out.
What if he could be the Tyler? Well, not that we wanted all it, but what if he could be like the Tyler Anderson of last year? Good lefty.
He's been amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's asking a lot from him, but the way he's pitched the last month, obviously I haven't heard of him until the trade, but I mean, I just look at the stats, but maybe
now he's going to get run support. Yeah. He's going to get run support in LA. Yeah. The stadium's going to be sold out. They're going to be cheering for him now instead of KC, where what the hell's going on in KC? You know, they got nothing to cheer for right now. They're waiting for football season in KC. That's all they're waiting for. Sure. They're waiting for Mahomes to get back on the field. Yep. Mm-hmm. So he's going to have a fan base behind him now. He's going to have a dynamite lineup scoring runs for him. I think that is going to be a good move. I think he's going to help pay off. Even if he isn't a starter the rest of the season, when Kershaw gets back, I think he can easily go two plus innings down the stretch in a big time playoff game. And I actually think if we play back to back playoff games and he pitches an inning the night before, he's a workhorse to come right back out the next day if we need him.
There you go. Yeah. So that basically recaps the trade deadline. I mean, we didn't make splash moves, but we made moves that we got the guys that we needed help for the going forward. You know, we got guys for that. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk on the field going forward with dude. Our rotate, like, remember that I showed that post. Like, dude, is Urias ever going to come back to form? Is Gonsolin? What's the deal? What is going on?
Something in the water this year. I don't get it. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out too. Let's pump the brakes on Urias for a second here, because I know they're saying he's having his career worst year. Yeah, his career worst year is still better than half the guys in the league.
I know.
So I think we've been spoiled that he's been so phenomenal for us that his career worst is still, you know,
especially second half of the year. So I know he's had a couple bad starts, but he can still turn it on, which we need him to big time. He will. I think he will. But
dude, I said this about three or four episodes ago. Right now, we're just started August. I said August was my favorite month of baseball outside of the playoffs. This is where the separation is going to take place. This is where we're going to see if these trades pay off. This is where the guys are going to turn it on. This is where Urias, you haven't had your all-star season so far. This is where Urias needs to turn it on.
Yes.
Kershaw, get off the IL. Finish the season strong.
I heard Pepiot and Kershaw might be getting off at the same time. That's huge. Dude, Pepiot's back.
I've always been a Pepiot guy.
He's back. He's back. Love Pepe. Grove is down. Pepio's back. And they just posted. Thank God. Hey, Grove, thanks for hitting our K props, but you're out.
You're out. I'm just checking. Is there still no recent update on Bueller? It sounds like he was at the UFC fights over the weekend. I saw him in the crowd at the UFC fights.
He should be in the pen. He should be in the bullpen. Do not the UFC fights. Come on.
He's there for the ring girls. He's there for the ring girls, probably.
Bueller's for sure going to come back, right? Obviously, we're not going to expect him to be the regular Bueller, but he's going to help, right?
Everything's saying that he was going to be due back sometime September to be able to help us, even if he comes out of the pen. I would take Bueller in a tough spot in a situation in a playoff game that we need to win coming out of the pen. Somebody gets shelled early, you know, a Yarborough or a Gosselin gets shelled early, or Lynn gives up six solo home runs. You've got to pull him in the fourth. You got Bueller for five and six before you go to the pen, man. And you get Gratterall, and you're saying our father's holding on to your ass because you don't know what Gratterall is going to do.
We know what Phillips is going to do, though. At least we got Phillips.
We do.
Okay, I feel like we talked a lot of pitching. Let's get into what do you think of the lineup so far? Okay, Mookie and Freddie, we already know that's a given. Are we concerned about Will Smith's slump lately?
No. I don't think so. He's a catcher. Catcher's slump. I think this is par for catchers. He will bounce back at the right time. Nice. He's too good.
It would be nice if we had a better backup catcher to give Will Smith some more rest, but instead we have Austin Barnes.
That's where it hurts him. Texas just got a steal on a backup.
Who was it?
It was that big move right before the deadline. What the hell is his name? Is going to drive me crazy right now. But they just picked up. He was available.
Texas is all in, obviously. Let's talk about.
We've seen them do that before, though. You know, I'm sorry. Yeah,
where's it got them? Nowhere. I mean, they got far, but they never won. What do you think of? I feel like
they don't got Ron Washington there anymore. We're hitting the nose candies in the dugout.
I feel like I like what I'm seeing from Outman and Taylor lately. Outman's been having some great at bats. I think he's over a slump. He's starting to remember because he started off hot, and then the pitchers will adjust. I think he's starting to adjust back. What do you think?
Mm-hmm. He had a big game the other day.
He's looking a lot better than he was in the cuts.
he's still hot or cold. He's still showing too much inconsistency. You know, I think again, he came out of the gate on fire at the season.
And I think everyone was saying rookie of the year, and we all did.
Yeah, we're like, expected it to, we all expected him to keep that up. And now he's had a decent season. Hasn't been a complete terrible season. No, I just think we all knew he couldn't keep that up, and people had expectations that he was going to be able to keep that up.
Taylor, you know what you're going to get. He's going to come through with clutch hits. JD,
Austin Hedges. That's what I was trying to think of. The Texas guy.
So Taylor, dude, we always rely on Taylor. I mean, I know he'll strike out four times a game, but then also come up with a clutch hit. What do you? The JD thing news doesn't sound great, huh? Is he out? No. How long has he been?
I don't even want to speculate on him right now. And he talk about one that was kind of in a little mini slump there for a while.
It's true, but that was like that was the biggest signing of the year so far. Like we said multiple pods. I mean, we can't lose him. Mm-hmm. Can't lose him, right?
I think that was the problem we talked about. We are very top heavy. We lose one guy and it all goes downhill from there, because you know what? I've been saying it this whole entire time. We can't rely on Mr. a buck 80 batting average Muncy. People want to get so excited about all these home runs he's hitting, dude. The guy's still hitting a fucking buck 80.
I thought average doesn't matter anymore. Come on, bro. Tell Edgar you're done with Muncy, dude. But you also said, dude, and where was this Bellinger? What was this last year, bro? Of course he's having because it's a contract year for him. I get it. But where was this last year?
We knew that. And plus, you know what? I think he's in a friendlier ballpark now. So a lot of wind blowing out there at the friendly confines. And he's swinging out of his shoes. But it doesn't matter. You know what?
Can you say that you were, I mean, dude, I'm not saying I didn't want Trey, and we're not going to be say that you're the only one that wanted Trey, but all right, it's only been 1 year, but what are your thoughts on Trey so far?
Shocking.
Only 1 year, but he could turn around the next, because how long they signed him for? Like 10 years?
10? Was it 8? Okay. 8 or 9? It's multi-year.
I'm shocked how bad he's doing this year. I'm shocked.
Shocked. And do you remember how he started the season so hot for Team USA?
Yes. And then he just used it all on Team USA.
So, you know what? I'm going to say I'm very rarely wrong when it comes to these moves in Major League Baseball.
Doesn't mean you're wrong. It's only been half. But you threw wrong.
That's what I was wrong on so far, because I would have gone all in on him at the end of last season. And thankfully we didn't.
Thankfully we didn't, because now we got a ton of shortstops who are way cheaper.
And actually, you know what's funny? I'll tell you who I wanted. I was fine to let him go for cheaper. I'll tell you who I wanted. Who's on fire right now. I don't know if he just hit another home run today. I wanted Dansby.
You did. You ended up saying you wanted Dansby.
But I knew we weren't going to get him. I knew we weren't going to land him. His wife's in Chicago. He wanted to go to Chicago. I knew it wasn't going to happen.
Okay, so we're talking about the bats. Okay, so going forward, okay, let's talk about August, because we always like to talk future schedule wise. So, dude, we got to sweep the A's. Anything else is, come on, you can't not sweep the A's, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I absolutely love the remaining schedule for us. The remaining schedule for these next 2 months, I'm a big fan. We got Atlanta for four, and then we literally fly directly to Miami for I think 3 or 4. That I think is the one tough part of the schedule. And the other tough part is I think the final seven of our 11 games are against San Fran, and who knows what position they'll be in by then.
Yeah. Well, cause I'm looking at, okay, I think it's regardless of how the Padres are doing, they're kind of getting hot at the right time. That's still going to be a tough series just because it's Padres four games in San Diego.
Always is.
And then Arizona, but look at that homestand, dude, against Rockies and Brewers, dude, and Marlins. Look how long that homestand is.
I know.
That's what, dude, we got to pick up a lot of wins there. Have to.
And the Marlins cooled off right now, so right now is the time to get them.
Yes.
Even though they made some great moves at the deadline, too.
They did. And then the Rat Guardians,
I'm going to tell you right now, and I know we have to be realistic here. You know, we want the Dodgers to win the West every single year. We want them to win the World Series every single year. I'm going to be realistic here. The Diamondbacks did make two moves at the trade deadline that I'm a very big fan of. Two moves that I wish actually... One of them I actually wish that we had gotten. Instead of Kelly, I would have absolutely loved to get Sewald from Seattle.
Because I saw when they traded a reliever, but then they end up getting Sewald. That's their closer, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Would have taken him, and he could have been our closer. He could have been our eighth inning guy. I like him a lot. And the fam trade.
Yeah, I think that would have been a good. I know. Arizona, I thought we might have landed
big time.
Yeah, Arizona made some good moves. San Diego made some. I mean, besides Rich Hill, we love the guy for former Dodger. But like, I feel like they made some sneaky moves too. Padres.
Rich, I don't know. I still don't think. I don't think that pieces, they didn't have any pieces to give. That's their problem. Yeah. They went all in already before the season even started. I don't think they have any much wiggle room.
At least we're not the Mets and we're not Buttress and
gonna,
Frank the Tank.
I was going to end this segment on the Mets, dude. It's Cohen. Sprinkling some Parmesan, Cohen, because you know what? I don't know if you saw the stat that basically the Mets are about to pay $53 million between now and the end of the season for players that don't even play for them anymore. $53 million.
A lot of that's the Bonilla, right?
But he's only still like $1.1 million, I think, I want to say Bonilla.
Still paying the guy.
Dude, that is actually more than 12 teams' entire rosters. He is going to be paying for players that don't even play for him. Great job, Cohen. Great job owning that team. Hats great off job. To you, buddy. Dude. The experiment has worked out. That's what you get for going to get two pitchers that are combined age of like 40 or 83 or something like that. The experiment did not work. And the best part is
I don't feel bad because I don't like defense.
Right? Get rid of DeGrom and then you send the guy that you just paid a shit load of money and right to go pitch next to DeGrom.
Oh, I know, dude. Oh, dude, Rangers going to be nasty. But like you said, they've done this before. Big splashes doesn't always mean you're going to win at all. As we've seen, Mets, Padres, doesn't mean shit.
I think what's funny is that every single person, even the books, have all jumped all over Houston now as one of the leading contenders, leading favorites to win the World Series just because they landed Verlander.
I guess it was Yordan's back. I mean, they're getting hot at the right time and they've been there. But no,
he was going to come back.
Yeah.
No, McCormick is actually tearing it up in the outfield for them right now. He's actually probably their best outfielder at the moment.
And Tucker, it's good. Hopefully they don't win back-to-back. I don't think we'll watch baseball again.
It's just very funny that they're already just handing it. They're already saying like, oh, they're going to win the AL now just because of Verlander back.
Let's be honest. I know he has the ring. He's still 1-7 in playoffs, dude, right? Didn't they say he's still a shitty playoff pitcher?
Exactly. Exactly, dude. I think people are writing off Baltimore too soon. They're writing off Tampa Bay still.
Yeah.
I think we did say Texas might be overrated. I think they're writing off them. But yes, we can completely just wipe out the entire Central. Central's not going anywhere. Twins are god awful. They're only 2 games above 500 and they're in first place. Central is trash.
Okay, so I want to switch. Okay, so last pod we had you and you said, I want to see if you still stick to this, that you were saying that with them not trading Ohtani is going to be the worst, one of the worst moves that the Angels could ever do. Do you still stick by that?
Absolutely.
And maybe because like, dude, they're still like absolutely. Not even guaranteed a playoff seed just because three games behind. Yeah.
Dude, you know they went and got Giolito. Tell me you saw what Giolito did last night. He got absolutely murdered.
This morning, doing that, they thought that was a big splash for that guy. Sucks. Remember, he was horrible. He was horrible for our fantasy team last year. But
he got murdered, and they thought that was a big splash. That's Artie Moreno going all in. Dude,
he went all in.
Is Trout even going to play another game this year?
I don't know. It sounded like I don't know. So you still think you're sticking to that point, right? Because you don't think he's going to stay with the Angels in the offseason. So they didn't get anyone for him.
Unless the only single way that this works in Artie Moreno's favor is if Ohtani just doesn't care about money and he loves the lifestyle and the OC. He's living on the beach. He's got some amazing beach property that he can come up to LA and out. That's the only single way this works. If Ohtani says, yeah, I'll stay here for 400 mil.
But I don't.
Why not?
From what he's been saying, his agent said, it doesn't sound like he's that type of guy. I think he's just basically all about winning.
Exactly. So why would Moreno not trade him? Like we said last time, he could have gotten a farm, a literal farm filled with baseball players for this guy right now.
Yeah.
And at the end of the season, Moreno's going to put a check on the table and Ohtani's going to say, I want to go in a World Series. And what does Ohtani have left with now? Yeah, he loses the greatest player in the history of baseball. Sorry, Babe Ruth. I'm already saying it right now. The greatest player in the history of baseball is gone. Your whole entire Japanese fan base who are tuning in from Japan to watch this guy play, waking up in the middle of the night to watch him play. Yeah. All your fans who are flying here, visiting Los Angeles, that say, I got to catch a ride down to Anaheim, buy an Ohtani jersey and see him because they're from Japan. You're losing all of that.
Okay, but let me give you a flip side on that. I kind of agree with you on that. But also, think about it this way. If he knows he's gone, and they're only three games back in the wild card, and what, six back from the division, I know it's a long shot for them to get in. And he's like, dude, if I had the best player, dude, I'm going to keep him one more to show the fans I'm not quitting. And then, dude, to still need those fans for the second half of the year, because no one's going to go to Angels games once they trade him. And then just say, hey, you know what, if we could have one last chance with one of the best players of all time, because we know he's gone. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's what I was the other side of it.
He's just trying to milk this for the last 2 months of this guy being there. He's just trying to milk it.
Yeah, we'll get you Giolito. Who they get? I don't even know.
They actually got a bunch of guys. None of them really jumped off the page to me at all.
Oh, CJ Cron's back. A lot of former Angels are back on the team again. I mean,
there you go. Going backwards. backwards again.
So I don't know. Right. I mean, Ohtani, he's probably... I don't know what he's thinking at this point. He's hoping Trout comes back. That's what he's thinking.
You know what's funny is they actually have a decent chance to make it into the playoffs as a wild card team, in my opinion, because the Central is so trash and so garbage. And right now you look at, does anybody want to finish in third place in the AL East? I mean, right now you got Baltimore, Tampa Bay, and then who knows what the hell the rest of the East is looking like between Boston, Toronto, and the Yankees. Nobody can figure out what the fuck is going on in that division.
Those three are so up and down.
Seattle can't get out of their own way.
Rays are shoo-in for the top wild card, I think, right? They'll probably be, and then it's going to be that second wild card.
Baltimore. I think them or Baltimore, whoever finishes second in that division.
Hopefully, they'll be awesome to see Baltimore in the division. But yeah, Braves or Baltimore are going to be the top wild card team. And then, dude, like you said, it's a crapshoot for the second place. Yeah, anyone's.
I still don't think the Angels finish in second place or better in their own division. I think the Angels are aiming at this point. Their best case scenario is the very last wild card spot.
Yeah, and then you sneak in. If you sneak in, you say, hey, we're throwing Ohtani game one, dude. You win that game. Yeah, so, I mean, if they sneak in, it'll be all. Hey, we, as fans, we want Angels to make it.
Because if you get the very last wild card spot in the AL, you're most likely playing Minnesota in the first round, correct?
You could beat those guys.
You're playing Minnesota in the first round if you get that last wild card spot.
So maybe this is what does Dan Marino's discussions like, dude, we get in that second wild card, we're gonna play that fucking AL Central, we throw Ohtani on game one. I don't know.
And then you call David Eckstein, see if he can still play. You call Darren Anderson.
Darren Erstad, don't forget about him.
You guys got one more in you? Hey, Weaver, we need you.
Stedman will come. All right, so that's a lot of baseball, but I mean, so to recap, Dodger fans will never be happy. I get it. But I think we got some moves that we needed. We didn't make the splash move. Doesn't always mean you're not going to win at all. Let's get our rotation back. Rotation needs prior. Come on. I thought you're the pitching goat. Get these rotation back together. We both love the Rosario move. I like the Kike and
Joe Kelly.
Just for clubhouse moves, I know you don't think Kelly and Kike will offer too much. I mean, they'll offer here and there, right?
Let's put it this way. When that Joe Kelly Lance Lynn move happened for Trace Thompson, the four-letter network basically called that trade a C+. Before I had seen that, I thought that trade was like a C-, C at best. They gave it a C+, so not too far off. But then you look at the overall grade that they gave them for their whole entire trade deadline was a B+. So they're telling you alone right now that the Rosario trade was way more significant than the Lance Lynn and Joe Kelly if they gave that one a C+.
Yeah.
And they're saying, Yarbrough, I think we can get something out of Yarbrough. I think so.
I think so too. I hope so. I mean, Freeman sees something in him. So hopefully. Let's switch gears to, I mean, I haven't watched too much. If I watched like half of them against the Netherlands, you probably watched more than me. Women's team, they barely advance, huh? And they're dancing like they've, hey dude, all you have to listen to is Carly Lloyd. I mean, this team is, what are they doing? They're celebrating against Portugal. Is this the first time Portugal's been in the,
This was their debut to
they're the World dancing Cup. On the field like they did something. I agree with Carly Lloyd. Not that I've watched much, but I mean, what do you think?
The thing that I'm telling you right now, that they are in trouble. They are in dire trouble. The man of the match, like Carly Lloyd said, was the post. They're right now at this moment, USA should be on a plane flying home. And Portugal should be advancing.
Which would be insane, because like we said before, it's either championship or bust this year, right?
Exactly.
I know they're not as good as the other. Yeah. Right now, do you think Sweden wins? You think Sweden wins?
I don't know if Sweden wins. There's a long history rival between USA and Sweden in the women's soccer. I don't know if Sweden wins, but I look at the quad of the bracket that we are in right now with Sweden and the other game being Norway, Japan. Even if we beat Sweden, I do not see USA coming out of that bracket.
Dude, Japan's on fire.
I do not see it.
Japan
has a case to go all the way, possibly. I don't see us coming out of that bracket right now if we keep playing like this. But here's the problem. Actually, I don't even know where to start with the problem is, because I could list a few problems with this team right now. The starting 11, actually, the whole entire team looks like they've never played together before, ever. It looks like they were just thrown under the field for the first time and, hey, here's a ball, go figure it out. I don't understand. It looks like they've never even met each other. There is no chemistry.
So far, from what we've seen, defensively, they're amazing, right?
They are. I mean, that's only because you got veterans back there like Ertz and Kelly O'Hare coming off the bench. Who I think Kelly O'Hare should be starting every single game personally, but yeah. I'm not the coach, because if I was the coach, I would definitely be playing them in the formation they're playing right now. The three strikers up front, not working. That is clearly not working.
Are these new players?
You got Morgan playing the center. You got Smith and you got Rodman. I mean, yes, a couple of them, this is their first World Cup. But Alex Morgan up front, actually, I think is the problem. And follow me in this one, because I know I'm going to get a lot of slack for this, because Alex Morgan has to play. She's the freaking darling of the team. Dude, she looks out of place on the field right now. The problem, I think, right now, the biggest problem is the coach has lived and died by the formation of the 4-3-3. It needs to be a 4-4-2. You need to get a striker out of there. He's got one too many strikers up front. He needs to have another midfielder to help control the game, win back possession, put pressure on them that way. Because right now, what good is it having three strikers up front if the midfield can't find any of them? Yeah, they can't score. Yeah. The midfield is not getting the ball to any of them to be able to score.
Who would you say are best players on the team right now?
Right now, you know what? It's a very hard question to answer. I would actually say who I've liked playing the most right now.
Don't say Rapinoe.
No, I'm going to go with Rose Lavelle.
Rose Lavelle,
and here's the biggest problem. She's been subbed in on, I think, two of the games, so she hasn't been played all that time, and I think she should have been starting all the games.
Okay.
But now we're fucked, because she got her second yellow card in the last game, so she's suspended for Sweden, so she can't even play against Sweden, and I think she's the one that should be starting every single game as that extra attacking midfielder in the middle. Pull Morgan out. Throw in Lavelle to be a pressing force in the middle, but
who's this? Do we have like a 17-year-old on the team from like that plays for Angel City? Does she get any playing time, or she just made the team?
I
forget her name, but I heard she. I don't know, whatever. But she does it. So Rose Lavelle is a beast. We need her. Oh, but she's out next year. Oh shit.
Yeah, you look at her. She's not even a beast. She's like probably one of the smallest players on the team. Mm-hmm. But what she can bring with speed and attack, she should have been playing this whole entire time, I think. I don't understand why they used her as a sub. I hate to put too much on the coach. I think the coach has done a horrible mistake of the formation and the players he's putting out there on the field. But also at the same time, these are our best of our best. They're missing crosses. They can't even complete passes. He's not the one out there missing these kicks.
Yeah. So, but let's flip it, because I know we didn't shit on him. We're just saying the name, because we expect so much out of him. But flip it, they advanced. They're in the knockout stages. They could get hot at the right time, right? Did they have a team that could get hot at the right time?
They could, but it's hard to get hot at the right time in soccer if you have the wrong formation.
Yeah.
If you're not playing the right, picture NFL. If you don't have the right game plan to go up against a team that stops the run, or, you know, a team that rushes the quarterback, you got to change your game plan. And at this point, it's very hard to do in soccer because you have lived and died by that. This is the game plan that you set from the beginning of the World Cup. And now to reposition players is very, very difficult in a tournament like this. Like in any soccer tournament, it's very difficult to reformat halfway through.
And now, since we're also a betting podcast, what would you throw money on then against that Sweden game then?
You know what? I would probably bet the draw. This is the perfect opportunity to bet the draw. I see if it could be a 0-0 or a 1-1, and I think it goes to extra time. I think USA could prevail in maybe penalty kicks. That gets us through to the next round, and then we have to face either Japan or Norway. Yeah, that's the thing. We're flying by the seat of our pants here, because honestly, I also think we're in a tough side of the bracket too, because you look at the other side of the bracket, Spain is up top. Spain was one of the I think second or third favorites. And then you look down on the other side of the bracket, and England has probably a very easy path. And England was the second favorite in this. They have a very easy path to get to the final.
Yeah, because, I mean, we need a lock, man, because, you know, a lot of people have been betting USA. I mean, the first game, everyone thought they would win by 6 goals. They won 3-0. They probably did money line the next two. Dude, and they've drawn too. So a lot of people are down on you. They haven't won shit. They need a lock.
And that's the thing. We won that game 3-0, which I said it should have been 17-0.
Yeah, for sure. But no one won them. Yeah.
Smith has 2 goals, and they thought they were ready to crown her like the darling of the tournament. Oh, my God. And what has she done? Of course, you and I could have scored against Vietnam. Like now, against some of the tougher competition, all our strikers have looked like absolute dog shit.
Because look how Vietnam has done against other teams. Didn't Netherlands put up like 8?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there you go. That tells you we're in trouble. It's the formation. The formation. We have these 3 players because we think that we can just score on anybody. We have 3 players just chilling up at the top of the field. And the minute one of them loses the ball, there's only 3 players behind them to try to win it back in the midfield. They need to get rid of one of the strikers, play 4 midfielders.
You would take draw and probably under, right? Because we don't give up goals. And if we're not scoring goals, it's going to low total, right?
I would take the under. I would take the draw and take the under. Those would probably be my 2 bets in this. And I would probably take USA to advance anyway.
All right.
Those are my 3 bets right there.
There's a lot of soccer. Anything before I move on, what do you think of Messi so far? I mean, not surprised, right? It's the MLS. I mean, it's too easy, right?
Well, I mean, I just got an update right now. He just scored again 7 minutes in that he can't stop scoring. He's already scored again.
Does this impress you, or are you kind of, I mean, you being the whole big Euro guy, I mean, does this impress you? Not really, right?
Messi.
Yeah. It's just,
I think it's cool to be able to see him on a regular basis if you're in the Miami area. And I think it's cool for all these fan bases that enjoy soccer throughout the country. You got a big fan base up in the Pacific Northwest with Vancouver, Seattle, Portland.
Yeah.
There's great soccer fans here in the Los Angeles area. There's great fan bases in Denver, Cincinnati, Nashville.
That's awesome for MLS. It's awesome.
Exactly. Yeah. But what I can't get over is the plastic fans that are now in the city of Miami. Great business move for Miami, by the way. Absolutely phenomenal business move. I don't know if you saw Beckham purchase the team for $25 million, and already with the Messi signing, it's valued at $600 million. And they're saying by the end of the season, they're projecting it to be $1 billion. Genius. But I don't know if you've seen the video when Messi got subbed out and pretty much the entire stadium in Miami left for the exits.
Oh my! Yeah, well,
there's a great video. Messi gets subbed out in like the 65th minute or something.
That's like the first game.
Exodus of fans.
That's like the first game. He didn't even start. I was like, you got to start the guy in his first game. He comes off the bench. Of course, scores the game.
Got to build the hype.
True, but it just shows. I guess that basically what it shows is awesome for MLS, but it basically shows how good European soccer is.
Right. It's phenomenal, but like literally he could have probably stayed in European soccer, just gotten the hell out of PSG. Cause that's where careers go to die in PSG, if you ask me. But, he could have easily played for any other team in Europe and still played at the highest level.
Dude, can Miami still make the playoffs?
Oh, I don't think so. I think they would have to win every game by like 10 goals or something mathematically.
Okay. Well, they might with all the, didn't they get some other help around them? Who's that other guy?
The other Spaniard. Busquets?
Oh yeah. So he just sets them up. It's so easy for them. Do they make it look so easy?
Yeah.
I guess that's a big, yeah, it's crazy.
That's what happens. But we gotta try to find that video of him being subbed out and literally every fan just getting out of their seat and like walking out.
Dude, yeah, dude, are you gonna go to that one when he's in LA? Dude, I've heard people are making a ton of money.
No, dude, I think right now it's Taylor Swift tickets and then Messi and LA tickets. Those are probably the two most expensive tickets you could probably buy right now. And Taylor Swift tickets are going for like $2,000 at the back row and at SoFi.
And then Dodger A's tickets are third. The rematch of the 88 at the rematch.
Just bring them all out. Hershiser, Eckersley, Gibson. Oh,
hey, when is Fernando night? Aren't we? I thought they were going to put his number. What night is that?
Well, I think Mexican Heritage Night is coming up. It's probably going to be on that night, I would assume, okay. Isn't it?
All right.
Mexican American Heritage Night is coming up. Okay. I hear it on the radio.
Okay, they got to do it that night. We could talk NFL, but we're going to do a lot of NFL. I'm hearing, what's the latest with the Lakers? They're going to sign AD to a 3-year extension. You saw that?
Well, I heard what's the deal? He qualifies on as a Friday. They can't sign until Friday or something, right?
Okay, so Lakers fans. Friday. We got bittersweet relationship with AD. What do you think? I mean, we know LeBron's only got one more year with them, so I guess AD's going to be the fit. I mean, would you think it's a good deal, or who else are we going to have on the team?
Reeves.
No. I love what we did this offseason. Well, I think we already talked about it on the pod. I think going next year, we're going to be up there. Western Conference Finals for sure. I'm just saying, as far as AD going forward, I mean, ask Gerald this. He's going to say, hell no, don't extend him. But I mean, who else can we like sign? But now Reeves isn't a superstar. He's a good piece, you know.
You know what I'm actually. Yeah. I think it's very interesting to shift gears not too far from Lakers right now. This is still Laker related.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm interested to see how this plays out. I actually want to know more about, because I feel like it's kind of been quiet since it happened. I want to know more about what the future holds for Bronny James. Because if this is some serious underlying heart condition and they say, hey, your basketball career is done because we found something with your heart that you can't be out there pushing yourself like this. Does that change Braun's mind now?
Oh, because he's waiting
to try to play with them. Now, does this change Braun's mentality of what he does going forward?
Yeah. I mean, Prayers to Bronny too in the fan. That's crazy what happened. I mean, dude, it's happening too much now. It's happening too much.
You know Bronny's a one and done. He's going to USC. He's not going to go to a single class. He's going to take four electives. One of them is going to be ballroom dancing. He's not going to show up to any single class. And he's going to be one and done out of USC. And you know Bron is going to be like, Palenka, you have to sign him. I don't care. You have to sign him. I'm LeBron James. You have to do this. Mm-hmm. And the Lakers were going to sign him, and he's going to play a season with them. That's how I always saw it playing out. And I'd put money on it. That's what was going to happen. Now, the fact that he's not able to physically play basketball anymore, does that change the game?
I guess, well, the future, I mean, we'll see what the future holds. I mean, either way, that was scary shit that came out of. That's crazy, man. Only 18 to have that.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Wild. But yeah, that's wild. Who knows what LeBron's gonna do? Who knows going forward with the testing? But so are you in on AD or not in on AD?
I'm gonna have to go right now. If you're making me take a lean here, I'm going not in on AD.
With the injury prone, sometimes being there for 40 points one night, the next night 2 points. Yeah, I give you that.
I think we could get so much for him, and I'm actually starting to worry the longer we hold on to him, the less and less his value becomes that we can get for him. I think we should have sold high, and I think right now his selling point has already peaked. I think his selling point is starting to drop. The injuries, the inconsistency, and I think the only reason why our front office would go all in on him is because they think that it's title next year or bust, because who knows what happens with LeBron after that.
I think it's title or bust next year. I don't care how many. I think we have the squad to do it. And I think it's also, if we don't win a title next year, I think the LeBron and AD thing was a failure. We don't win next year.
So far, I think it's been a failure.
You already think it's failed. Yeah, we already said it's been a failure, but I think it would be an overall. I know we won that bubble. I'm not saying because everyone was in it and we won. We got hot. They were dominant. But I think overall, if they don't win next year, I think it's been a huge failure.
I think it's
Genie's already given LeBron the statue. You saw that? Oh, the jersey retirement. The jersey. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I'm sure Kobe's like rolling over. No, I'm sorry. But I'm sure, like, dude, I did 20 years, 5 rings. This guy played. He won a bubble ring. He's going to get a jersey next to mine.
Bullshit. That's, he did not do enough here. If I, as a Laker fan, thought that Pau did not do enough here, LeBron definitely didn't do enough here.
Oh, I know. And I was shocked that you didn't think that. But I mean, yeah.
I know.
If you didn't think he did enough.
I'm just saying, I don't want to start this argument again. But when I look up at the raft and I see those names that are up there, to me, I don't think Pau. You know, I think of a lot of other names before I think of Pau. Yeah. So, and he brought us, what, 2 rings? Rings?
Yeah, he did. Yeah, like Kobe said. But no, I thought you always look up there for the Sparks and Clippers banners.
Well, next to the Taylor Swift ones.
Oh, yeah, it's true. She has more banners than Clippers, right? Oh, gosh.
Give it another couple of years. The Clippers will be out of there. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. What about anything NFL? There's not really much NFL, huh?
I don't want to touch NFL yet. I'm saving my NFL. I'm building the suspense on the NFL. Yeah. The only thing we can talk about NFL is this. I mean, we got our first NFL game. What, tomorrow or this Thursday night? Yes. Does that even count? Hall of Fame game. Two shitty teams that nobody cares about.
First quarter will be fun. We'll see some starters. We'll get excited. And then all of a sudden we'll be like, "This sucks. This is not real football." You know. Then we still got a month. And then also,
we're not going to see Deshaun. We're not going to see Rodgers.
Deshaun will be a couple massages by then. But, the only thing that we need to tell, I think everyone knows this as fantasy, if you're an avid, like, you know, fantasy football, do not draft now, because look at all the injuries that's already happened that are going to happen in training camp. I think, do the draft at the end of the year. I know you have to. You have to, right? At the end of August.
I got to talk to my league. Forget that. Draft needs to happen like literally the Friday, the Wednesday before the first Thursday night game.
Dude, a lot of non-contact injury, a lot of just so brutal. You can't draft now, which some people do, but can't.
It's like, what do you do with Burrow? Do you draft him? You go all in on him?
Yeah, Burrow. Who else? What's another guy? I mean, Zach Moss. I mean, he's like a late round flyer, but it's already a bunch of injuries, man. It sucks.
Yeah.
What else? Yeah, cricket? No, cricket.
World Cup is coming up. It's going to be played. No, I think we're good. Yeah.
We're good. A lot of baseball. Big baseball, guys. Well, we'll get all NFL soon, but
we gotta get our baseball in now, because in a couple of weeks, we're bringing action at the urinal back.
Yep.
Baseball kind of gets forgotten a little bit about in September, and then October playoffs come.
We're back. Yep. And then, I think we're gonna do a Yard House thing soon. We'll get that, and then next week we'll recap how we did in San Diego. Hopefully 3 or 4 in San Diego, and then sweep the A's, right? And then we'll go from there.
Stop these weird 4-game series that end on a Monday.
Yeah, that's weird. So Monday,
throw everything off for you.
Yeah, it threw me off today. I was like, wait, 4-game series on Monday at 1 o'clock? Jeez.
Right.
Actually, sounds like a good time. San Diego, Monday, 1 o'clock.
Man, no care in the world. It's like Vegas on a Tuesday, betting Champions League soccer, you know?
That's right. Binions by yourself. All right, we'll talk.
All right, bro.
Go Dodgers, baby. Go Dodgers.
Let's go.
Later.